Priavratotanapadau. Shatarupa patesutau.
Shatarupa patesutau.
Vasudevasya kalaya.
Vasudevasya kalaya.
Rakshayam jagatastitau.
Rakshayam jagatastitau.
Priyavrata.
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 Utanapadau.
Utanapadau.
Utana. Utanapada.
Utanapada.
Shatarupa pate.
Shatarupa pate.
Of Queen Shatarupa,
Queen Shatarupa
and her husband,
and her husband
Manu.
Manu.
Sutau,
Sutau,
the two sons,
two sons.
Vasudevasya,
Vasudevasya,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Kalaya,
Kalaya,
by plenary expansion,
by plenary expansion.
Rakshayam,
Rakshayam,
for the protection,
for the protection.
Jagata,
Jagata,
of the world,
of the world.
Stitau,
Stitau,
for the maintenance,
for the maintenance.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jaya.
Svayambhuva Manu had two sons by his wife Shatarupa, and the names of the sons were Uttanapada and Priyavrata, because both of them were descendants of a plenary expansion of Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were very competent to rule the universe, to maintain and protect the citizens. Purport. It is said that these two kings, Uttanapada and Priyavrata, were specially empowered by Supreme Personality of Godhead, unlike the great king Rishabha, who was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. We can take one more verse, because purport is very short. Okay, text 8. Jaya Uttanapadasya Suniti Surichistayo. Jaya Uttanapadasya. Jaya Uttanapadasya.
Jaya Uttanapadasya.
Suniti Surichistayo.
Suniti Surichistayo.
Surichir Preyasi Patyur.
Surichir Preyasi Patyur.
Netaraya Chutodruvam.
Netaraya Chutodruvam.
Translation. King Uttanapada had two queens named Suniti and Surichi. Surichi was much more dear to the king. Suniti, who had a son named Dhruva, was not his favorite. Purport. The great sage Maitreya wanted to describe the pious activities of the kings. Priyavrata was the first son of Svayambhuva Manu, and Uttanapada was the second. But the great sage Maitreya immediately began to speak of Dhruva Maharaj, the son of Uttanapada, because Maitreya was very eager to describe pious activities. The incidents in the life of Dhruva Maharaj are very attractive for devotees. From his pious actions, one can learn how one can detach himself from material possessions and how one can enhance one's devotional service by severe austerities and penances. By hearing the activities of pious Dhruva, one can enhance one's faith in God and can directly connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus one can very soon be elevated to the transcendental platform of devotional service. The example of Dhruva Maharaja's austerities can immediately generate a feeling of devotional service in the hearts of the hearers. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militamina Tasma Shri Guruve Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, we are just starting new story, new chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam. And sometimes it's good to zoom out the whole picture so we can understand where we are situated actually. There's some saying goes like, if you are in the forest, out of the trees, you cannot see the whole forest because you are too close to the trees. Trees are blocking your vision, you know, you cannot see the whole where you are situated. So, First, we will try just a little bit to explain what's going on here, because it's before it was Daksha, and now it's completely new story, Dhruva Maharaj. And what is actually Srimad Bhagavatam? Why is this story inside of Srimad Bhagavatam? Why is so significant for us? So first of all, we have to understand that jivas who are in this material world, they are in conditioned situation. They are conditioned by material energy. Therefore, Krishna explained Vedas to Brahma, so that jivas who are we situated here, we can have this knowledge and we can go back to Godhead. This is the purpose of Vedas. But at the same time, he explained to Brahma this Vedas. Vedas means knowledge. It's a vast knowledge, everything, material and spiritual and everything. It's categorized as para and apara. Para means like transcendental knowledge only about God and spiritual life. And apara is also how to live in this world. You have your Jyotish, you have your astronomy, you have your Ayurveda, so many things that are not directly connected with God. So Vedas give all this knowledge. It's a vast knowledge. So because it's so complicated, then there is one section which is called Upanishads in the Vedas. So Upanishads, actually, they explain the philosophy. What's behind this? Because they're telling you should do this activity, you should do that activity. But behind every activity, there is some philosophy. Like the other day, I was coming back from the city. I was in the tram. And then there was one homeless guy. He was on mobile. And he was explaining and screaming to his friend why he's doing this, but he's doing some nonsense. You know, he's doing some nonsense, but he's explaining philosophy why he's doing this. So you can see every action has some philosophy behind this. You cannot, that's the principle. Even from the lowest to the highest. So Upanishads, they give the highest philosophy, why we should do particular activities in this material world. And Upanishads are very difficult to understand. Upanishad means, by translation, means sit nearby, to sit nearby. So that means you have to sit nearby spiritual master. Otherwise you cannot understand what Upanishads are saying. It's very like, they are giving just the knowledge. So if you are very intelligent, you can apply this knowledge in your life. But most of us in Kali Yuga, we cannot understand how to apply this. Therefore, Vyasadev, he took all these Upanishads, which are, as we said, the philosophy of all conclusion of all Vedas, and then he compiled Vedanta Sutra in sutra form. And sutra means very condensed. Like for instance, now I'm speaking now, and someone of you may take some notes from the lecture. And if someone else, after you give someone this paper, after the class, he will not understand. Because he was not on the class. They are very short, some notes, you know. So in a similar way, Vedanta Sutra is very, very like condensed. And one cannot understand again all this knowledge without proper guidance. And therefore, Vyasadeva compiled what? Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, so he compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra. In other words, this is the essence of all the Vedas and everything is in Srimad Bhagavatam. But what is the difference between Upanishad, because it's the same knowledge as Upanishad, Vedanta Sutra, is that it's giving in Puranic way. It's through stories. How this knowledge can be applied, how someone applied it in their own life, you know, how you can really use this knowledge. There's a difference. It said that Vedas are like a king who is giving you orders, you should do like this, you should do like that. And Puranas, they are like a friend who is saying, okay, my friend, please do it like this, it will be better like this. So it's the same knowledge, but it's given in different form. So for us in Kali Yuga, it's more beneficial. It's the same knowledge, but it's more. We can understand only through Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't have intelligence, nothing. We are not just competent to understand Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, all this knowledge is here in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada is saying we should reach Srimad Bhagavatam gradually in order to realize Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now we are in the fourth canto. Now we are just starting. Like we can say first, second, third canto. It was explaining, you know, like Sankhya philosophy, where we are situated, what's going on in this world. Like sometimes you can see drug addicts, alcoholics, first thing when they go to rehab, they have to understand in which kind of mess they got themselves into. They have to realize, okay, I'm situated, it's a heavy situation. So this is what Srimad Bhagavat at the beginning is giving us. This is material world. Kapila Devi is explaining all this stuff in second canto also, where we are situated. That is material. It's not somewhere where we can be happy. And now, on top of this, we had last chapter, Daksha. He's explaining what's the purpose. We are here because of envy. So you can see Daksha was envious. So how we can overcome this envy, you know, to be envy on others. And purpose of this human form of life is Yajna. So all this has been established in previous chapters with Daksha and all these stories. And now we came to the chapter where it's Dhruva Maharaj. So what is actually, here it is said, the great sage Maitreya, before he was saying about the previous kings, but Maitreya was very, very eager. It said here, he was very eager to describe pious activities of Dhruva Maharaj. He was very eager to explain, you know. He didn't even bother with these other kings. He immediately wanted to go to explain what is Dhruva Maharaj. So what is actually pious? What it means pious? Why Dhruva Maharaj was pious? According to Bhagavatam, there is only pious and impious. Pious means what is connected with Krishna, and impious means what is not connected with Krishna. In material life, we can see sometimes pious means that someone is very nice, polite, he's doing all this stuff, is considered religious pious. And someone who is very bad temperament, who is very bad qualities, character, is considered impious. But according to Bhagavatam, both of them are impious. Only pious thing is when someone is connected with Krishna, when someone is connected with God. We can see when someone is in prison, you know, there is prisoner who is always fighting, always making a mess, you know, he's not listening to no one. And there is a prisoner who is abiding the laws in the jail, you know. He's following all the rules and regulations in jail, but why? Because if he understands, if I follow all the rules in the jail, I can have a nice cell, I can have facilities, maybe I'll get even TV, you know. And I can get out very fast, you know. So this is his mentality. So when I go outside very fast, I can continue with my, you know, stealing and all this stuff. So this is actually what is pious in material world. It's someone has still material consciousness, but he can think, okay, if I'm pious, I will have the best facilities to enjoy. I will have all these things. Just so there is no difference, actually, from point of view of Bhagavatam. So pious means those who are connected with Krishna, and impious means those who are not. Very simple, Bhagavatam is explaining like this. So we can see Dhruva Maharaj, he is considered a very, very pious person. Why? Because Krishna is saying there are four kinds of pious people who are coming to me. Who are these four kinds of pious people who can help out? Yes. Yeah. Yes. So in which category you would say Dhruva Maharaj falls into?
Second one, desire of wealth.
Yes, desire of wealth. So we can see Dhruva Maharaj, although he had completely material motives, he wanted even wealth more than Brahma in this material world, which is practically impossible. It's impossible. But he was a small boy and he was so angry because he was Kshatriya, so he said, I want greater kingdom than Brahma, than my grandfather. So with this mentality, his mother told him, only one who can give you this blessing is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he went to the forest. And then Krishna knew this, so he sent his pure devotee, Narada Muni. And Narada Muni tested him. You know, he said, small boy, why are you coming to the forest? You should go. Just go home, be a small boy, this is... And he said, no, don't give me this philosophy. He said like this, Dhruva Maharaj, I'm not interested in spiritual life. If you can help me out to get this fulfilled material desire, then give me this knowledge, otherwise go from my way. I don't want to even listen to you. He was saying like this. But at the same time, we can see he was considered pious. Why? Because this material desire, he came directly to approach Krishna. This is the point. It's connected with Krishna. All the mentality is completely wrong. But because he came and asked Krishna for this, this is the meaning of pious. Like you can see in Bhagavatam, demons, when they have problems, they always try to solve it all by themselves, by their strength, by their power, by their intelligence. But demigods, many times, whenever they have a problem, They get kicked and then they wake up, oh, I'm dependent on Krishna. And that's why they are considered pious. They go to Krishna and then Krishna solves the problem for them. So in the same way, you can see Dhruva Maharaj, here, he's considered pious because he approached directly Krishna. He approached directly Krishna. And then here is explained, Prabhupada is saying, and he was doing severe austerities and penances. This big tapasya he was doing in the forest, as we all know. First month, I think it was explained, every third day he would just take a little bit of fruits and berries. Every third day for 1 month, small boy in the forest. After Dhruvama, Narada Muni, he gave him instructions how to worship the deity. He gave him a special mantra which we chanted before. What is the mantra that Narada Muni gave to Dhruva Maharaj? Someone knows? Yes, this is the one. How we opening actually Bhagavatam with this mantra? He gave him this mantra. Yes? That's right. Thank you. So, he gave him this deity worship, he gave him mantra, he gave him all this devotional service, but at the same time, he was doing these severe austerities, tapasyas. Like we said, first 3 days, every third day, he would just take a little bit of berries and fruits for 1 month. Second month, every 6 day, he took some of the leaves, just leaves, dry leaves. And third month, every 9 day, he would take a little bit of water. And like this, he would go gradually, 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 and following the instructions of Narada Muni, until his mind was completely focused on Krishna, as he explained how Krishna looks like. He was so much dedicated. So, actually, bhakti is not dependent on this, and it's not a part, these austerities and all this stuff. Bhakti means only Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, only this, positive engagement. Listening about Krishna, taking prasadam, austerities are not part of bhakti. But as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying there are two types of bhakti. Because there are two types of conditioned jivas. As we said, one is conditioned and one is liberated. So those who are conditioned, we practice different kind of bhakti. We are practicing bhakti as a means to get prema. But those who are liberated, they practice on the level of prema. They just practice to please Krishna directly. But while we are in this situation, we are attached to this matter. And therefore, we have to do this retraction. We have to do this tapasya like Dhruva Maharaj is doing. We have to do austerities, some kind of austerities. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's explaining, like the chariot, body is a chariot. Then a driver of a chariot is a mind, and the horses are senses. And when this chariot, horses and senses are pulling the passenger, which is soul, towards Krishna, this is called retraction from material world. This is these austerities and penances and all this stuff. So for every, like for instance, we don't have to follow this, we cannot follow, like we gave this example, every third day, all this what Dhruva Maharaj was doing. It's not possible. These details in his different age, is Kali Yuga, we cannot follow. But we can follow in principle, like for instance, body, there's austerities for body, which is yagya, service, we engage our body in the service of Krishna. In this way, we purify our body. We engage our senses by self-control, sense restrictions, austerities, like these senses can be purified in this way. Mind can be purified in forgiveness, in all these qualities. Like, why many times someone hurt us and all this, you know, we devotees even, many things happens. So why should we forgive? Why should we forgive this person? Why? So the answer is right here. If you want to go back to Godhead, you have to become detached. You have to forgive and go. That's why Brahmanas, they want to go back to Godhead. That's why they have this, quality of forgiveness. They can move on. Otherwise, if someone hurt you, like I had experience, I was hurt and I could not let it go in my mind. Over and over, I was thinking about this. And then very soon, in like 3-4 months, I came to the same situation where I went from. Because I could not, you know, you're meditating on this, you're meditating, and then you come back to it, you don't forgive. But if you forgive, you can move on. So this is austerity of the mind, how we can retract, how we can go to the spiritual world. We should forgive to those not like just because Christians are saying you just because it's good, but there's a higher purpose. Because we can, therefore, we can move on. We can go back to Godhead. So as we said, these austerities and all this, like jnana and vairagya, he said, they are not really part of bhakti. But if you practice bhakti, they come on its own. Jnana, what does it mean jnana? Knowledge about what? About our identity, who we are. So you, okay, I'm not this body. If you do just bhakti, you will find out, I'm not this body. I'm spirit soul. So jnana is coming slowly. And second part is vairagya. You will become detached from these things. If you know I'm not a dog, I will not bite a bone, you know? So if you know I'm not this body, then gradually all this renunciation will come up. But Prabhupada is also explaining what is real renunciation. Real renunciation is not that someone goes from his wealthy, he goes from his house, and he goes to the forest. And he said, now I'm very renounced. This is not what Prabhupada is saying. Your house doesn't belong to you, and the forest doesn't belong to you. So you didn't change nothing. You just went from this situation to another material situation, and you got fame. Many persons, you got fame because you are so renounced. You are such a rich man, and now he's living in forest. Prabhupada is saying this is not real renunciation. Real renunciation is to renounce this mentality of lording and enjoying the material world. So if we can leave this idea, then it's called Yukta Vairagya, what is real, what our acharyas are explaining. Then you can use anything. You can be around here, but everything is for Krishna. Like we are in temple, no one is claiming this is my table, this is this, but we are functioning, all of us here, with no problem. So this is the thing, what is the real renunciation? Like, we can laugh if you go to a bank and you're waiting in the line and some guy can come and scream out from top of his lungs, I renounced all this wealth in the bank, you can take it. And he's very happy. And he's expecting that everyone will clap. But all the people, what you'll say? This guy is crazy. This is not his wealth, this is nothing. So in a similar way, the same this renunciation who are doing this, there is just illusion. You cannot give up nothing. It's not in your position in the first place. Real renunciation is this mentality. I am not controller and enjoyer. I am servant of Lord. So with this, you are renounced. Then you can act in this life. So as we said, while we are attached, like Dhruva Maharaj was attached to material, he had all this wealth, we have to practice this retraction. Jnana and Vairagya has to come. But this second level is when one find out his identity, who he is in spiritual world. Then jnana is not written, it's the situation where you practice. Like our body now is made of ignorance because we are thinking, I am boy, I am girl, I am this, I am that. But when you get your body, spiritual body, it's made out of knowledge because it's your own truth, who you are really. And then you don't need anymore. That's why it said, you can see someone, if he has jnana and vairagya, if it comes from bhakti, then it's good. But at the same time, one can be, how you say, he can make mistake. If he sees someone who is very renounced and a lot of knowledge, but if it's not connected with Krishna, then it's very dry. It doesn't have no purpose. It's just like, it's just cheating. So we don't have to practice nothing outside of bhakti. We just have to practice bhakti. And then all these things will naturally, it will come up, as Dhruva Maharaj was showing. Prabhupada is saying here. One can enhance his devotional service. One can enhance his devotional service by severe austerities and penances. So that means that if you're doing this, you're becoming more and more and more detached from this world. But at the same time, you cannot do it on its own. That's the thing. If you just do bhakti, naturally you're becoming detached from this material world. Like, there is an example. Like if you take food, if you are very hungry, and then you take food, prasadam, automatically you're becoming strong and satisfied, and at the same time you are becoming detached from hunger. So like this is with bhakti. If you're doing this, automatically one becomes detached from material energy. It doesn't have to be nothing separately from this. So, the thing is that, as we said, why is this at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam now, Dhruva Maharaj? Because all of us, more or less, we have some material desires still in our hearts. And Srimad Bhagavatam is showing how one can purify this desire and how one can progress to Krishna. Because no one can have greater desire than Dhruva Maharaj. Whatever one has desire, I have a desire for a new phone, new car, new apartment, anything. All these desires, they go into this, that he wants bigger kingdom than Brahma. So whatever one has in all this material world, desires, it's already included in his desires. So that's why we can follow by his example, how to fulfill our desires, like this. We just have to connect with Krishna, and gradually, because connection with Krishna will purify us. It said like sun can purify even a stool, urine, anything what is dirty, sun can take these bad elements and just purify us. So in the same situation like this, Dhruva Maharaj, he had this material desire, and because he was connected with Krishna, his realization at the end, what, who knows what he said, is famous. Yeah, Martin, what is it? Yeah, Mataji said, I was looking for the broken glass, but now I found the real diamond. He said like this. So this is the realization what he had, but we can see from beginning, he had only material motives, nothing else. He didn't have even a tinge of spiritual desire. So there is no problem, Bhagavatam is saying, there is no problem if you have material desires. None at all. One should not feel bad, one should not. It's normal to feel this in this environment. We've been in this material world for so many lifetimes and all this. But the thing is how we deal with this. This is the problem. How are you going to deal with your material desires? So here is the right example. Bhagavatam is not just some story, we close and then we go on our way, you know. It's, as we said at the beginning of class, it's the essence of all Vedas. And Vedas are meant to teach us, to give us guidance how to go from this world. So if you try to contemplate a little bit about this story, and you will find any one of us can find many things that we are still attached in this material world for many things. So if we follow this principle, we can become purified. Our desires will be fully, like we see, Krishna fulfilled completely his desires. But Krishna fulfilled it in these ways that there are no new desires. This is the difference. So therefore, as it is said in Bhagavad Gita, whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you give in charity, do this for me. Do this for me. But it's a start. That's why we should not feel, okay, I'm this, it's good enough. No, it's not good enough. There's a goal behind this, that I become purified from these material desires. That's the goal. It's not just that we're going to use Krishna for these things. We know. With our intelligence. It's not the best. It will not make me satisfied, but because of my conditioned nature, I need this. I need this so I can practice bhakti. How rather, we have to see it in connection. Otherwise, it can entangle us. It's also said here that just by hearing the activities of pious Dhruva, one can enhance one's faith in God and can directly connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it will just go away. You listen, you close, I'm going now in the real life. You know, this is Bhagavatam and now there's a no. Real life is, everything is spiritual. But because of our consciousness, we see material. So that's why, here are right examples, what we, it's very relevant to us. A person who has so much big desire for material wealth and all this, and he's pure devotee. He's pure devotee, he's in Bhagavatam, he's always, you know. So there is no problem also for us. Okay, so I will stop here. If someone has some question, or if I said something wrong, yes, Prabhuji.
Prabhu, can you elaborate a bit more about your own practical experiences of experiencing how this can work in your life?
With what specific? With forgiving?
Well, with all these problems
that
you're
I was always into music, you know? So even when I was not devotee, I was always somehow another connected with music. I was making music, I was always connected with people who are into music. Because it's my conditioned nature. And therefore, I just, you know, Krishna gave me nice service. Because it's my everyone has specific conditioned nature. So Krishna will give him according to this, because in this way we can give the best of our to Krishna. So like this, Krishna fulfilled this desire, and now I have this, you know, like always engaged in Harinam, Kirtan, and things like this. So whatever is one's desire, Krishna can fulfill it. It's no problem. But sometimes Krishna will, he can make us wait to purify us. This is a problem. Sometimes he wanted immediately. Like we can see in Krishna book, when gopis, they want to go to Rasa dance. But Krishna didn't allow him. There was like family came, some blockage on the way came. Why? To purify desire, to purify the intense desire. So sometimes Krishna will test. Like you can see also here, Dhruva Maharaj, he didn't get it in 1-2 days. You know? 6 months is nothing, actually. It's really nothing. But you have to do, you should not, as we, as devotees, we should know that this is not the ultimate goal to get this. We should always see it in connection. If you get a house or something, if you get a car, art. But if you have more knowledge, it's even better. You can get, you can come to the pure platform more fast. So I don't know, something like this. I mean, there's many examples, you know. Any one of us can say this is the first thing that came to my mind. Yes, Prabhuji. By singing holy name, by looking at the deities, all this is connection with Krishna immediately. That's the beauty of the temple. There is direct and indirect activities. So when you come to the temple, everything are consistent. Like we have to go for work, we have to go to school, we have to do all this stuff. So, while you are doing these direct activities, you're getting immediately benefits, you're progressing. But indirect activities, if you don't see it in connection with Krishna, there is no spiritual progress. If you don't see it, but Krishna is saying, whatever you see that is not connected with me has no value, it's an illusion. So whatever, if you go to a job, if you whatever we are attracted to, it's all Krishna. That's the thing. We, as conditioned, we are thinking matter is attracting us. But because we are souls, matter cannot, something that is unconscious, cannot attract something that is conscious. So all around is what is actually, it's Krishna's qualities. You know? Why we are sitting on the mat? Why we are not sitting on the floor? What's the reason? Because it's warm. This quality, warm, is coming from where? From Krishna. Matter has no power to generate. So you can see, Prahlad Maharaj, he saw this. All these acharyas, they see all the qualities of Krishna. They don't have no problem. So wherever they go, they are Krishna conscious. So in the same way, we should also, in these things, what we are attached to this world, we should realize you progress. You can progress, you know, spiritually. It's very nice. This car, why I like this car? Because it gives me speed, it can give me shelter, you know. So this shelter, speed, it's all qualities of Krishna. Why I like this house? Because it gives me shelter, it gives me protection. All these qualities are just Krishna in the form, you know, on Brahman level. So if someone can do like this, little bit, these things where we are attached to, then it's much easier to be Krishna conscious. And then these indirect activities, and we read, or deities, or prasadam, only then. But why not make it all the time? Pure devotees, they are all the time, they have this consciousness. Prabhupada was saying, I'm see, you know, like he would see everything in connection with Krishna. Thank you. This is how you can be Krishna conscious. Okay?
Yes, Prabhupada. I was going to say, of course, even the dead matter, Krishna is in every atom.
In every atom. So everything is qualities of Krishna. And that's why these forms come up, that we see all these forms. The atoms, they are eternal. But the forms, they are just temporary. But they come in specific, like, you know, just to... So when we come to material world, we want to run away from Krishna. So Krishna, then he hides himself in Paramatma and Brahman. So we don't see him, but he is here. Otherwise, we cannot relate to nothing else, only to Krishna. This is our position. But he's so kind that he hides himself. And therefore, we are attracted to so many things around us. And we think it's material energy that is attracting us, or it's, you know, even the grossest materialist, you know, on the street, he's attracted to Krishna, but he doesn't know this. He's thinking it's this or that, you know. So we as devotees, we should be aware of this. And then we can purify our existence, even when we are not in temple, even when we are not surrounded with devotees. We just have to see which quality is this of Krishna that I'm attracted to. Thank you very much. Grand Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Itai Gaur Premananda.